Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 743, where me, Kevin DeFrango, and the man on the other side of the microphone, Chris Calamita, will try to have more energy than a post-WrestleMania crowd for everyone listening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I've ever seen a burnt-out crowd... That was definitely it. Holy smokes. There were a lot of people that went to the same events that, I mean, Raw wasn't super crazy, but there was enough in there that crowd, you could tell that crowd was just worn out.
Definitely, very worn out crowd. They had gone to who knows how many events, minimum 3, possibly 4, 5, 6, who knows? You know, a lot to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, I chose WrestleMania over NXT TakeOver. Plans ended up changing. Did not go to soccer match because of work related stuff. So I just stayed at home and watched WrestleMania Night 1 in its totality. But I was not home early enough to still watch NXT Stand and Deliver. It did make me think, though, that if they keep this pacing, I'm like, man, it might not be bad to just go to NXT still, because what? Then you're done by like 4 in the afternoon, and you have the rest of the night to do some other unspeakable things, and probably watch WrestleMania also.
Yeah, you didn't know what WrestleMania was going to be until we got there. Once we got there, it's my God, when I at least wanted to see Night 1 live and in person.
Yeah, and I guess speaking of Night 1, I'm sure I will talk about it with him in person on the next podcast, but Jeremy said to me, we definitely went hard at Night 1 more than Night 2. Night 2 seemed more entertaining to us when we recorded the podcast. But we really gave Night 1 a hard time. But somewhere along the line, Jeremy says, do you think this is going to be one of those WrestleManias where we're bagging on it so bad it turns out good? And to his credit, that is what ended up happening. Night 1 was a real surprise for me. How about you?
It was sort of a surprise, but maybe if we really thought about it, it shouldn't have been, because Night 1 had the 3 key moments that had to deliver. It had Becky and Bianca. It had the surprise opponent for Seth Rollins, which of course was going to be Cody. And it had Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, what took down your expectations for Night 1 were some of the other matches that had been announced, and 2 of which took place, 1 of which did not, that just seemed like run-of-the-mill matches, SmackDown matches, being shoved onto WrestleMania. And then the whole Ronda Charlotte thing that you didn't necessarily have the highest of expectations for, but wasn't necessarily going to be a disaster. You didn't know exactly what you're going to get out of Logan Paul. But the 3 big things of the weekend were all on Night 1, and they all delivered. Oh. And in fact, probably all over delivered.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking over delivered, Logan Paul is definitely in that category.
Oh, he absolutely over delivered. Yes, that was a hell of a performance. I gotta hand the guy, well, whether you like him or not, he came prepared. And he absolutely delivered.
I believe I said to Jeremy, like, if he wanted to, like, it would not shock me if he could become a wrestler full time.
Oh, absolutely. He could absolutely do it. You without know. A doubt, yes. And he'd be very good at it.
He'd be
very successful at it, yes.
I have no idea if that is an inkling in his mind or if this is just, hey, I like the WWE, this is a fun crossover, and I get to do this every now and again.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of him, especially after the way that all ended, but I don't think we'll see him full time. I think he still makes too much money in other ventures to give this full time and for them to pay him what he would expect for such a commitment.
Yeah. I mean, because what did they say, 5.4 million or something like that on his YouTube channel or something?
Oh, no. I think it's like 25, over 25 million.
Oh, gee, mini Christmas. I mean, that's crazy.
Hold on, let me see what his YouTube channel is. Let me see. $24 million.
Huh? $24 million?
$23.4 million.
Wow. That's wildness. Yeah, I would have to think that that would be a lot of money that the WWE would need to fork out to keep him on the roster full time. That's an awful lot of followers. But yeah, that one definitely, and honestly, I would even say, well, the two matches before that, I guess I kind of, the tag team match at the beginning did get hamstrung a little bit with Boog's seemingly legitimate injury.
Oh, absolutely legitimate. There's no way that wasn't legitimate.
So, that match turned out good for, you know, bad circumstances. I guess I was even surprised at how well Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin came off. So
it was technically fine, but I couldn't bring myself to care either.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think we're gonna spend any time on it, but I will say that expectations started to raise at that. And I guess kind of talking about one of the pivotal moments a little bit more. Bianca Belair beats Becky Lynch. Definitely gets an avalanche's worth of support for, kicking off an affair of great matches on this night of WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, this was probably the best. This is easily the best WWE match of the entire weekend, in my opinion. This was a masterpiece. These two put on a hell of a match. Just, you know, pretty much all action the whole time. You know, never really stopped moving. Crowd was into it the whole way. Yeah, this was absolutely tremendous.
I really liked the story that they had going into it. I think they augmented it even more within the match itself. And yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. I definitely had thought that Bianca would come out on the winning end of this because they really needed to crown a legitimate other star within the women's division that it up to this point really has not been done outside of the Four Horsewomen. And Bianca Belair does finally get that. And wowee, I guess I did not notice it during the match. Bianca Belair, hell of a shiner that she was sporting on Monday Night Raw this week because of that match.
Yeah, no. She got kicked in the face pretty damn hard.
Oh, man. So, yeah, congrats to Bianca Belair on that big win. Next up, Cody Rhodes, the crowd ate up the return. You know, yeah, I think Cody is getting what he is hoping for, you know, at least maybe sometime on the horizon here. But this was a hell of an introduction back into the company.
Yeah, absolutely. It was everything you would, everything. I'm sure it was everything Cody could have dreamt it would be. I mean, that just an incredible ovation. Every single thing about the AEW Cody persona was kept intact. Vince didn't even make him laser off the neck tattoo.
That would be a little hard and really painful. Because that thing is still quite fresh. I mean, what? He's only had that a few years at this point, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean...
So what Cody gets to be? But Cody gets to be, AEW Cody, or, you know, the Cody persona that he has built equity in for the last six years. So, you know, good for him. He seems to have got a great deal. Him and Seth Rollins had a hell of a match themselves. A little slow at the start, but then really, really picked up at the halfway point and had a very hot finish. Yeah, no, this was one of those things that over-delivered.
I'm trying to think if I liked that bull rope match, I'm trying to think of good Cody matches in AEW, you know what I mean? I the bull rope match is one that comes to mind, but I'm trying to think of, like, a technical match that he had, like the one that he had with Seth Rollins. And I'm not sure that he really had that there. You know, like, kind of the better wrestlers in AEW weren't completely in his orbit more times than not. You know, it's not like he wasn't going to wrestle Kenny Omega. He wasn't going to wrestle Adam Page. They didn't have, you know, the likes of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk at the time. I do feel like this is a type of match that he had not wrestled in a while. And that kind of got my interest. You know, I think a lot of the big matches that he was in AEW, you know, could involve weapons one way or the other. And, you know, as much as the bull rope match was a good match that I enjoyed, it's just a different presentation than what him and Seth did.
Right.
Next up, the WWE always finds a way to get some villains, some wins on the WrestleMania card. There aren't that many of them. Charlotte can put her name on that list, though, now, as she ends up conquering Ronda Rousey with a little bit of shenanigans involved.
Yeah, just a smidge of shenanigans. The referee out of place twice, missing a visual three count, and Charlotte tapping to the armbar. This did not in any way live up to the standard of the women's championship match earlier in the evening. There were some rough spots here, and I'm not blaming Ronda for those rough spots either. Charlotte was not having a good night, especially after that disaster of a moonsault she tried, where she ended up landing on her feet and then falling forward.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It's hard to blame Ronda for something like that going wrong in any context.
Ronda was where she was supposed to be. Because otherwise, Charlotte wouldn't have gone over Ronda. She would have stopped short of Ronda, not over her.
Yeah.
It was Ronda out of position.
Yeah, so, the match was okay. I suppose I did like the story in and of the fact that you do give Ronda Rousey a reason to wrestle Charlotte again.
One of these women's championships probably did need to be retained by the champion to keep a story going. Actually, hell, one match on WrestleMania needed to effectively keep a story going, which we didn't really get a lot of. Once again, sorry, a great two nights of a show unto itself, but not a lot of work done to really give WWE that momentum that they can push forward with either. But this was at least something they can go back to and continue with.
Yeah, because I was just like, oof. And I thought that that they were going to end the evening on that, because I'm like, oh, wow, they do not pull off the heel closing out WrestleMania with a W is also quite rare. But they had one other match after this, so it was not the main event, truly. Because we did get Stone Cold Steve Austin against Kevin Owens in a no holds bar match.
Yes, we did. We got Stone Cold Steve Austin in a match at WrestleMania. Now, they didn't call it a match in the lead up, though they implied it.
Oh.
Which is, in retrospect, probably a smart idea. Temper people's expectations, and then over-deliver, but also, just in case he woke up Sunday morning, stiff as a board, not feeling it, they could have gone in a different direction as well. But, he was up for it, they had a match, it was a match, there was a referee, there was a bell, and there was a three count. It's a match. And it was a pretty damn good match, all things considered. Kevin Owens absolutely, bumped around, did everything that would have been expected of him. Steve Austin, you could tell as the match was going on, gained confidence, and did not seem to tire at all. He took a suplex on the floor, which was incredible. Also delivered suplexes on the stage and did all the Stone Cold stuff, and it was a hell of a deal and a hell of a way to close to close night one was something that you certainly could not top. If anyone, no one could have followed that.
Oh. yes.
So the decision to close with it was absolutely correct.
Yes, it would have been a fool's errand to have something happen after that. One of your top ever stars has his first match in, is it 19 years?
19 years, yes.
I mean, that's a long time to not have a match and to have one last, yeah, one last go round. Would be, I would think. I know that, although it hasn't, I feel like there's been speculation out there that Steve might be around for more than just this one match.
There's always going to be some speculation. Who knows what the Saudi prince is going to start, what numbers the Saudi prince is going to start throwing around. And maybe Austin just simply felt good about it. Who knows? But as of right now, that he said it was going to be his last match in Dallas, after same city where he had his first match, and I guess he intends to follow through on that. But now that he's gotten the one out of his system, maybe another will be easier to talk him into. Who knows?
it would be, to me, it wouldn't be a problem. If he ends on this note, like, I say go for it. You know, much like some of the other people, he's keeping himself in great shape. He is not a spring chicken, though.
No.
You know, I mean, just saying that you've been out of the ring for 19 years is a statement unto itself. That's a lot of time to pass by. So I'm not sure how much his body would want to tolerate at this juncture. And I have no idea, like, he's one of those guys that, has he been in that many movies and whatnot recently? Like, I guess I don't know what he's doing.
Not recently. He's been doing the Broken Soul Sessions. He was doing the talk show for USA. He gave up his straight to DVD movie career about the same time DVDs were going out of style.
Yeah, okay. I mean, just living on the wrestling money then. Good for him.
Yeah.
So anywho, yeah, that was just one of those side things. Still have not tried the new one. Don't really intend to. but those beers definitely did make an appearance again on night on night two. I guess we can use him as a bridge. He ends up showing up at the tail end of the Pat McAfee versus why am I blanking on his name? Austin Theory match.
No, it was after the Pat McAfee Vince McMahon match, because that is also an official match in the record books now.
Okay, I was unawares that this was an official match.
Well, the referee was in the ring. He rang the bell. He counted three. Vince McMahon defeated Pat McAfee.
Pat
McAfee defeated Austin Theory.
Oh man, yeah, everyone was fearing a Vince McMahon match, and he swerved us just to get a Vince McMahon match. He's just like, nah, I'm not going to torture you with a match. And he really didn't.
Cause... No, it was too short to even be anything. I mean, it went with the motif of this show just being, of night two just being an absolute fever dream.
Night two, yes. If you... They were definitely putting the entertainment in sports entertainment that on night two.
Yes, they were. They absolutely did. Yes.
You kind of had the wrestling match with Pat McAfee and Austin Theory, but then it definitely went full comedy with McMahon versus McAfee.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was a setup. Then, Pat got his moment, but then Vince got his heat, and they set up. It was a setup for one last Vince taking a stunner. Although, oh my God, Vince's body just absolutely. Austin's boot just barely grazed him, and yet somehow, and Vince's body just shut down. He forgot all about how that all that was supposed to go. Austin is just audibly laughing. He is just laughing at this. He's just trying to grab Vince for the stunner, and Vince is just shaking and discombobulating until Austin finally gets it. He was probably the second worst stunner ever after the Donald Trump stunner. okay, maybe third after Linda McMahon. Maybe Linda gets second, and then Vince at 76 gets.
Hey,
I mean, Vince's stunner cells were never pretty, but they at least got the job done before.
The way that he finished it up. Just cracked me up, honestly. Because he sells it so weird and so like anyone else. And yeah, it was terrible, but for whatever reason, I get a perverse enjoyment out of Vince selling the stunner. Just because, like you said, like he's always been kind of awkward about selling it and being 75 or whatever he is. It's not surprising that he was not going to sell that the same that he used to.
Right.
Really, to me, nailing down the entertainment and sports entertainment was definitely Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn.
This is just the greatest comedy match ever. I mean, this worked on every level. I can't even admit. I know Dave Meltzer hated it, but Dave Meltzer also must hate himself. Oh my God!
Yes.
What a spectacle!
That match was like even my wife was laughing at this match. She definitely got it. You know what I mean? It's just Sami Zayn was the perfect foil for Johnny Knoxville. I'm not sure how many other people pulled this off with Johnny Knoxville this well outside of Sami Zayn. I'm going to assume that list is pretty short, honestly. This thing went almost 15 minutes. I mean, that's a lot of time to take up for a comedy match. It's definitely the comedy match that's been given the most rope ever.
Oh, yeah. Right. Maybe this doesn't work without Sami Zayn. I'm sure others you could have put in this situation. But from a character standpoint, from a work standpoint, Sami Zayn was so perfect for all of this. All the other jackass guys running in, and I'm not the biggest jackass connoisseur, so I mean, obviously I know who Wee Man is, and I have a decent idea, Pontius and the whole party boy thing. All the run-ins, all of it, the boots, the slap, the hand slapper.
Oh,
where did they even put that? they did a great job. If you were there in the building, obviously you could see it.
Right.
But they did a great job keeping that off camera.
Yeah.
I mean, that may have been the best. That may have been the best production work of Kevin Dunn, the last 5 years of Kevin Dunn and his insane camera cuts and all that other shit he did.
Well, yeah. They always make it so obvious that, you know, like, RKO out of nowhere. It's because, like, the camera angle's almost in the crowd, and so you can't see Randy Orton, and they just move to the right. And it's just like, oh, he's there all of a sudden. Fun camera trick. But, yeah, I had no idea that was coming either. Like, because they had to have shown ringside at some juncture, and it just was not, it was not out there at the time. And yeah, that was a really fun spot. Even though the mousetrap thing didn't go completely right, it was still cracking me up.
Yeah, it definitely went high with that one, but it still for the most part worked. And you know, the mouse traps on the table. And you thought maybe Johnny Knoxville was gonna go through it. But instead, Sami Zayn goes through it, and that's the beginning of the end of the match.
I forgot. Sami took some pretty serious bumps in this one.
He did take some pretty serious bumps. No, this was easily the most fun match of the weekend. I enjoyed it immensely. This ended up being the highlight of night two. I would go as far as say it was the best match of night two.
Yeah, it very well could be. Yeah.
Because we're doing a little out of order, so let's just talk about it. I didn't like Edge versus AJ Styles at all. It bored the crap. It was on this show with the tone that had been set, trying to do a match like that, trying to do a slow body part. You know, work a body part style match. It did not work for me at all.
Yeah, I mean, on an upside, nothing was like that. I don't think all of WrestleMania weekend. So they did kind of do the smart thing and go away from the trend. But yeah, I mean, it definitely was not, I felt like this was one that, I had said both to you and to Jeremy at some junctures that one probably could be the, show stealer, like the best technical match of the weekend. And it was not.
No.
You know, I didn't have any major problems with it, I don't want to say, but I also wasn't super into it.
No. It was definitely a victim of, we've seen a lot already. And then just counting the first, the combination of both nights. And try to do a match that slow at that point, and not just the night, but the entire weekend, it just didn't work for me. I was begging for this match to end. I was begging for Pat McAfee at this point.
I will say that it does intrigue me. Edge and Damian Priest is... I mean, I guess I just felt like Edge needed something else to really go heel, and having a heavy in his corner. And, I mean, they were already trying to go heel with Damian Priest, and I'm not sure how well it was working. So I think kind of half rebooting him, too, will benefit both of them moving forward. Because it was still really hard for me to buy Edge as a heel, considering that just the month before, it was him and his wife playing good guy against The Miz and his and Maurice, you know. So yeah, I do like that part of the match. We'll see if they expand that family at all. That could be kind of interesting also. If they do something new brood-y, but who knows? That's pure speculation on my part. But yeah, wanted to make mention that is is possible fun stuff there moving forward, at least. I guess one thing that does that did have some follow up story here that to me was kind of intriguing. Bobby Lashley beat Omos at WrestleMania, and the next day on Raw, we get MVP turning on Bobby Lashley and teaming with Omos. What do you think of this chain of events here?
I think that Omos absolutely needs this. He Omos needs MVP, without a doubt. I think that that was a good pairing. It's a good. It's a good mouthpiece for him. He'll even legitimately learn even more from MVP. So no, it's a good call. Lashley getting the win at WrestleMania. You know, I guess almost doesn't necessarily need to be undefeated. You know, that's one of those things where you could argue that the undefeated streak is can be a bit of a
albatross, maybe?
Albatross, yes. Thank you. But it can be a bit of an albatross for a guy, so you might as well just pull that Band-Aid off, and now he can, with MVP on his side, he can have an even bigger monster run. It was all good in my book.
It'll be interesting to get back to Bobby Lashley babyface here. I think it can definitely work. He does not need MVP to talk for him. And they've definitely done, the WWE has done well for Bobby, or done well by Bobby Lashley for the most part, since the beginning of the pandemic, essentially. That he's really gotten a push and a sustained one at that. And getting to beat Omos definitely keeps that going. And hey, I guess if you felt like you needed a babyface, I suppose, is there an outside chance that he ends up taking on Roman Reigns in the near future? Because of I would not think it'd be an immediate thing, because it does seem like we're getting one more Omos and Lashley match. I would think.
Yeah. I don't see. I can see it down the line. Yes. Immediately. No. We'll talk more about Roman Reigns when we get there.
Okie dokie. Because I'm still trying to save that one for. There isn't too much more to get to, so I suppose there's some tag teams to talk about. Tag team match Triple Threat starts off the show. Enjoyable. There's not much to say about RK-Bro retaining their championships against the Street Profits and Alpha Academy. Other than, because didn't Alpha Academy take the pin?
Yes, they did. Yes. Gable took the pin. Gable's RKO'd out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. There's the double RKO out of nowhere. Yeah.
So, no, this match was good. Maybe not as good as the Triple Threat that was on Raw that had Rollins and Owens in it. But it was good. It was a good opener. Nothing too spectacular for an opener. This two nights of WrestleMania kind of went back to not delivering a giant match in the opener like we've seen in some previous years. So, what a good high energy action opener. So it served its purpose.
It did what it's supposed to. Other men's tag team match, because let's save the ladies for their own spot. Sheamus and Ridge Holland defeat the New Day. in very short order.
Yes, very short order, yeah.
We could possibly talk about this longer than the match actually was. And that wouldn't be hard.
We might. I mean, and some people were actually upset this match got pulled from night one. Well, how do you feel now? Oh my God. This was awful. It was, Kofi and Xavier deserve better.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah.
But they also maybe deserve better than to just be thrown back together and in the SmackDown Tag Division again as well, too. So it's just, you know, this Sheamus and Friends act isn't working for me.
No.
And, you know, I was a huge fan of Sheamus in 2021. but this is not this is not good. You know, Rich Holland isn't ready. They've got Butch, aka Pete Dunne, running acting like Hornswoggle. It's just a it's just bad.
I don't completely get why he's assaulting people after matches. I mean, I think they're supposed to be getting over his viciousness, but it's just like, nah, he's just being a dick. He's attacking someone who's already defeated. Like,
well, no, it's even more than that. They have him acting like an angry little leprechaun, essentially. Even though he's British,
the Oliver Twist act is not working for me either. This is just one too where it's just like, just don't put it on the card, I guess. Like, I thought that this would be one that was on a pre-show somewhere. I'm still mildly shocked that it made it to the main card. Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, I have no idea why this match ever had to be added. It's, you know, whatever they were going to do before Big E got hurt, it just should have been scrapped after he got hurt. There was no need for this.
Oh.
Thing to continue. It's just, it's been cursed. The whole storyline's been cursed. The whole act with Jameis and company is just, it's just not good. It's not good at all.
Ladies tag team match. Naomi and Sasha Banks defeat the field. Carmella and Queen Zelina, who were the champions, Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, and Natalya and Shayna Baszler. I did not have high expectations for this match. I'm not gonna, you know, remember this in even more than a month, probably. But it was a solid match, and I guess the biggest thing that I took away from it was Sasha Banks and Naomi came up with the finisher. I would imagine them to stay together, at least for the immediate future here, in that Sasha is not going to be in the singles ranks.
No, I see this. See them as a team lasting for a while there. Yeah, no. There's no reason to take these titles away from them anytime soon. They work well together. They look good together. There's a lot of upside to keeping them together for right now, especially if Sasha's not going to be not going to be in the title scene. So no, this is good.
They're a duo that could make the tag team championships work again. Like, they've had some tough sledding with those things. I feel like that they haven't had the right people to feature. Naomi and Sasha seem right to resuscitate them. But we shall see, because it does appear as if one of the teams involved in the match is no longer a team again, with Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley apparently parting ways, but then kind of getting back together. I also kind of feel like that the next time they're together, they're going to be apart for sure. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Naomi and Sasha can do do with these things. That does leave us at Roman Reigns defeating Brock Lesnar to unify the WWE and Universal Championships. He is still suspiciously carrying around two belts, which definitely lends credence to they're eventually going to sunder these belts apart again at some juncture.
There's still a lot of questions about all this. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar had a good match for them. Definitely not in contention for match of the weekend for sure. Depending on your taste, maybe you could argue match of the night. But not my taste. But maybe somebody's. This was well done. But I don't know if Roman Reigns is an incredible seller, or if that shoulder is tricep is shot, because that man was. Brock really looked like he was pulling on that damn thing, and Roman was screaming really, really loudly, even after the hold was released. So, and then you can see a bit of a bulge in there as well, if you looked at it.
Yeah, and I feel like I saw a still on Twitter of it looking a little funky.
And he was selling it at least selling it the next night. So yeah, no, this is an interesting story here. This is a story definitely would be interesting to follow here, as to whether if Roman Reigns has any kind of a legitimate injury or not. They didn't put any cards out on the table on Monday afterward, but they also didn't say anything on Monday. That was a complete waste of of having Roman Reigns on Raw. SmackDown. I mean, there is no indication of where they're going with any of this. There's not. I mean, there's no indication that Roman Reigns is going to be making regular appearances on Raw. There's no indication what Raw is going to do for a main singles men's championship if Roman Reigns is not regularly appearing on Raw.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange situation I guess we've been talking positively for the most part about Raw for a while now, about it being the better show. That the only thing that had been good on SmackDown was the Roman Reigns stuff. You know, that pendulum, I think we've been talking about it, swung way back at the draft now, which was August? Is that...
October.
Okay, but I mean, we're still going half a year of SmackDown being worse than Raw. They don't need their main star taking some of his segments over to Raw at all. I can certainly understand if the network wants to have him some more, though.
I think that's the situation we're definitely in here. So yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. They back themselves in this corner, and now they're going to have to figure out how to get out of it. While also crossing their fingers and hoping that Roman isn't going to be out for any length of time as well now.
Yeah, I mean, that part is going to be the interesting part. I could see playing it off on Raw, because there's no reason to get people or to change your plans. I mean, I guess they could have had him looked at in the meantime. But I would think that it would not be a meaningful look if he was out there last night on Raw doing it. Not that he really did anything. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. I'll tell you what, I really did like the outcome of the match You know what? That was one of those things that I couldn't believe how many firsts happened at this two-night WrestleMania. Starting with Baron Corbin having his finisher protected for the first 6 years on this very roster.
That is
I
pretty incredible, yes.
was beyond shocked and still am that I was just like, huh? Like, no, like, you've got to be kidding me. And I guess what made me think of it to go back to Roman Reigns, and I get although this was one I was less surprised by, that it was the first time Roman Reigns beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, he wouldn't have won the first one because Seth Rollins cashed in, and then he won. Then he definitely didn't win the second one. That was the that was a hell of a deal in New Orleans.
Yeah, that was the one. It's just like, hold on. This is the time, man. This is the time to make Roman a star, and then oh no, we're not gonna do that.
Yeah, that was not that wasn't good. That WrestleMania killed a lot of momentum and a lot of hopes and dreams by the end of it. But this one will go down in the history books as really, especially if you combine the two, especially considering that night one and then throw in all the good stuff from night two. We're in some type of an all, I would go top 10 all time. I don't know if I go five,
Oh.
I could comfortably go top 10.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking maybe comfortably in that 8, 9, 10 kind of slot area.
No, I had a tremendous time, and this was a WrestleMania that just some of my usual group wasn't around, so I watched it at home by myself and only had wrestling Twitter to entertain me other than the show itself. But it all amounted to a really fun couple of nights.
Yeah, like I said, I was really shocked by night one. Night two, I've got to admit, it was getting a little rough by the time Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar came on, even for someone sitting at home.
Yeah,
It's,
no, I totally understood.
you know, and I mean, they did do a pretty decent job of keeping them somewhat manageable at like because they started at 8, going to 11:30 wasn't so bad in some ways because it still did make the events only about 3.5 hours. But they yeah, they kept them moving, and it was yeah, there were a lot of highlights to this. Yeah. That alone, Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville is gonna keep this in a top 10 somewhere, honestly. But those two matches back to back there, night one, were pretty outstanding with Bianca Belair and Cody Rhodes respectively winning their matches. That was yeah. It was a really good WrestleMania. It definitely surpassed expectations for me. Is there, I guess there really wasn't that much. Oh, I suppose we can talk about my disappointment when Ezekiel came out and it was not Ezekiel. Rather, it was a repackaged Elias.
Yeah, I'm very
Honestly,
disappointed that Ezekiel, you're just waiting for Ezekiel Jack. You've been waiting all these years for Ezekiel Jackson to come back.
I was just
I'm
like,
sorry.
oh my God, I don't know if I was waiting for him to come back, But I heard the name and I'm like, oh my god, they're bringing back Ezekiel Jackson was the first thing that popped into my head.
I think that's, something that popped into a lot of people's heads, yes. You're the only one. But, oh man, what if they forgot about Ezekiel Jackson? And when Vince realizes there has been one other person in wrestling history in the history of his company named Ezekiel, then they have to change the name back again. Or is that going to be the gimmick? He changes his name every week. I don't know. They played off of the right person in Kevin Owens to kick this thing off. Elias? I mean, comedic timing for Kevin Owens, perfect there. We'll see where this goes. This is obviously not a main event gimmick.
What? How dare you say such a thing? I was half spooked by his look. I'm like, this is so strange to see him in trunks.
Oh, yeah.
And him, I guess I didn't ever think of him as being exceptionally ripped. But he looked pretty ripped.
Well, he's had nothing but time to work out for the last year, so.
And that was the other thing. I think the wife was still awake when when he popped on. And I'm like, honestly, if he never showed up again on my TV, I would have just completely forgotten about him.
Yeah,
I just would have expected that he was part of the cuts at some juncture, and he just and that's what happened to him, because he had those repackaging vignettes and then didn't come back.
No, he's not.
I mean, he almost was coming soon, as long as Veer Mahan. What do you think of Veer Mahan finally showing up on Raw after months and months of build-up?
I was really hoping that he was going to be, like, after all this time, and just the internet, Veer is coming, you know. He was gonna show up and be like a hook-like meme baby face, but the first thing they have him do was attack Rey Mysterio. So I'm not sure what to make of Veer at this point.
That's a strange setup to give to someone that's gonna be a heel.
It really was, because people were You're always gonna have that first pop, that first pop when Veer showed up after all this time, and to do it tonight after WrestleMania was perfect. But then he goes after and he attacks Rey Mysterio. I don't know. I have not seen enough of Veer to say one way or another whether the guy really has anything or not.
Oh yeah, I've got no clue whatsoever about what his potential is or is not. The longer they keep those guys off TV, to me it always feels like there is not that much potential here. That's just my crazy brain talking. Does not necessarily mean that's their actual thoughts on him. And I guess this was the other... the other maybe big thing, and to me, one of the other tells that the Raw crowd was dead. They did not pop that well for Bron Breakker winning the NXT Championship on the USA Network instead of on Peacock.
NXT's on USA.
Was Stand and Deliver on USA?
Oh, that's right. You caught me.
Yeah, even though I've got to admit, I did watch the first two matches, I believe, of Stand and Deliver at some juncture on Sunday, before the second night of WrestleMania. I have not gotten any further than that, though. But when you have Dolph Ziggler coming out with the championship, it makes it pretty easy to figure out what happened at Stand and Deliver in the main event.
Yeah, they decided to wait for Raw in front of the bigger audience to recrown Braun Breaker. Once again, crowd didn't really respond much to Braun Breaker or the match. The finish of the title change got a pop, so that was
yeah.
Good. But no, they decided to play the waiting game. And maybe they didn't get exactly all that they wanted out of it, because once again they were faced with that weird, tired crowd. But
yeah,
they got Ron over in front of the largest audience possible, just the same.
Yeah. And I guess there really wasn't. I'm kind of spinning through the other stuff here. Not too much major really did happen on Raw. I think those were the three big things, unless there's something else that that you can think of that needs to be touched on.
Well, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on Cody's promo. Cody definitely went to acting school and learned how to cry on command. But he also learned how to cry in command in the exact same way. Because there are people putting side-by-side comparisons of Cody crying on Raw and Cody crying during promos in AEW. Everything about his facial expressions, his tics, it's all the same.
Oh, that's pretty funny. I have not seen these things. I guess maybe just because I had read an article about him from Variety, I want to say, and it seemed like he covered a lot of the same material. And
yeah, I mean, he's got his story and he's got it down pat. He might be completely full of shit, but he's not the one who is going to be talking badly about his former partners and former president of the company he worked for. He will not be doing that. So if they want, it's a smart strategy. If they want to be petty about it, it doesn't reflect poorly on him. He's not going to respond.
Yep. Yeah.
Directly. He might respond indirectly. And hopefully he's given that memo to Brandy so that she doesn't fly off the handle at some point. But for right now, Cody's got his story that he's gone back to WWE to be WWE champion, which no one in his family has ever done. So that's where we're at with that. And
yeah,
I imagine unless this run turns sour or Vince gets bored quickly, but with the amount of money that some of the money figures that have been thrown around, I imagine Vince will not be getting bored with this investment. So I am at some point in the next year or so, we will most likely be staring at WWE champion Cody Rhodes.
And we shall see if it's WWE or Universal Champion or both still at that juncture.
Or another new championship just created out of thin air.
Oh, yep, that is always an option. I mean, that really is the, I guess that's the most interesting thing, maybe, and I'm not sure how much we talked about it. It'll be interesting to see who is the one to beat Roman Reigns here.
Yes, that is going to be Very, very interesting down the line, because we are at the point where you might need to start, you know, interjecting Raw people in here. Because he has basically beaten everyone on SmackDown but Drew McIntyre. And I guess Drew McIntyre may be the lead candidate at this point.
Yeah. I mean, the list has gotten shorter. You know, Seth Rollins got a couple of cracks at him. Not that I expected that to happen. Brock Lesnar was definitely a choice to beat Roman Reigns and to end the streak. I can see, though, why they went with Reigns.
Yeah, I certainly see it. And we would not do this weekend justice if we didn't bring up, at this point, waiting for The Rock to confront Roman Reigns has turned into a running joke.
Because you know what? I've got to admit, I did not see anyone suggest that. I guess I was not online very long, huh?
I guess you must not have, because it was... Once again, there were no hints really thrown out from either camp, but you just get this feeling like, it's gotta happen, and then it's like, yeah, another big weekend goes by, it didn't happen, is it ever gonna happen? It's next year, never. Basically, man, can they keep this Roman Reigns character hot for another year? Who knows, with or without the title? Once again, as we mentioned, then Drew McIntyre as a potential challenger. If we're inserting Raw people in Roman Reigns' orbit, and Roman Reigns is going to be making more regular appearances on Monday Night Raw, then yes, as we said, you know, Lashley is a great option for a challenge to Roman Reigns. But as far as that clear, you know, not going to miss star that can be made by beating Roman Reigns and carry WWE for the next 5-10 years, there really isn't that person.
I mean,
that's the bottom line of it. I mean, Drew's, you know, a bit older.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Lashley's definitely older. I think Bobby might actually be older than Brock.
Oh, on his earth. Yeah.
And there's just the only real NXT prospect you could think of for it down the line would be Bron Breakker.
Yeah. The other one that I was thinking, who they had on two different times, or on both nights, Gable Steveson, but I'm not sure that's
the personality's not there. I'm not seeing it. He's got to be a work in progress. He's not going to be Kurt Angle, and he's not nowhere near as physically impressive as Brock was, coming out of college either.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being one, but I'm with you where I don't think that is what ends Roman Reigns' streak, because that's kind of what I was talking about in regards to. So, I think he's a little bit further out than that. Yeah, Bron Breakker really is kind of the only one. It'll be interesting to see if what they do with Bron, I suppose, moving forward. But, I mean, that would take a lot to get him. I guess at this point, I'm trying to think of when they would call him up. You know, do they actually wait until SummerSlam at this point? And that's still a long time for, you know, I mean, one way or the other, Roman Reigns is going to have some pretty serious time to fill with that championship.
Yeah, he is definitely. I mean, we've got...
Because none of the names that we mentioned are definitely, like, I'm not feeling like, oh, yeah, at the next pay-per-view, they're going to be the one to take it off of him.
No. We got two certified B shows coming up in May and June. Money in the Bank is going to be in that big stadium, and then SummerSlam is also going to be in another big stadium. And then they're going to Wales in September to be in one of their big soccer stadiums over there. So they got some huge shows this summer that maybe could be the night that you throw someone that bone. But it ain't happening anytime in the night. So again, we've got two certified B shows coming in May and June. And we don't know if Roman Reigns is going to be healthy for those either. As of right now, there's some questions about that too.
Oh man, yeah. So there's a lot. There's a lot hanging out there for whether it's United or not. The championships will be an interesting place to be. Here for the WWE in the near future. Anything else that I missed before I talk beer?
No, go ahead and talk beer.
I found myself having to drive home from Raleigh, North Carolina this week. One of my good buddies at the Josh Banks on the Twitter suggested going to Crank Arm Brewing. So I made that on the way back through. And luckily, because I was driving home, I could just load up on beer. This one is their Crunchy Bearings Fruited Milk Stout. And it's raspberry and blackberry. It tastes pretty damn fantastic, and is a 6.9 ABV. Oatmeal milk stout with I did not get a whole lot of the vanilla, to be honest, but the raspberry and blackberry is definitely in there. It's a highly suggested brewery now on two counts. As far as I'm concerned, this beer is quite delicious. And I got to have their Bock beer when I was down there. I just had a little sip before leaving, and that was also very good. So if you happen to find yourself in Raleigh, North Carolina, or maybe North Carolina in general, because I do have their cans, maybe you can find them. Crank Arm Brewing. So that is the Belltime beer suggestion from @DeFrango11. That is @StuntCali. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.